Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. When the 21st Century Cures Act was signed by President Obama earlier this week, many praised the bill as a tribute to bipartisanship. The act passed with overwhelming support in the Senate and was dedicated to Joe Biden's son, Beau, who died last year from brain cancer.
Although the act earmarked funds for the Beau Biden Cancer Moonshot and Brain Initiatives, the act is more than 1,000 pages long, and it includes provisions for a myriad of health care issues. Shannon Firth is the Washington correspondent for MedPage Today, and she spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers to unpack this landmark legislation.
The idea of the bill was to get new drugs to patients more quickly, and new provisions have been added onto that bill, partially because it's the end of the year and other things didn't get passed that needed to. But essentially what this bill does is it earmarks funding for Congress to focus on things like brain research and cancer research. And also it helps revise some of the practices of the FDA and get drugs reviewed more quickly. So one of the problems that both the NIH and the FDA have is staffing. So this bill puts money towards the FDA in terms of keeping those talented researchers there because they could work, you know, anywhere else. They get trained and they could leave. For the NIH, it does the same thing. So there's nearly $5 billion in the bill for the NIH. There's $500 million for the FDA. And what this money will do in terms of the NIH, that money will be directed towards important research on the Brain Initiative, President Obama's Precision Medicine Initiative, and it will also go towards Vice President Biden's Cancer Moonshot Initiative. And all of these things are very focused on bringing about new treatments more quickly.
So there's a lot of stuff in there, and I'm going to ask you to just explain some of the sort of initiatives you mentioned. The Brain and Precision Medicine Initiatives, what are those?
So I'll start with the Precision Medicine Initiative. Let me put it this way. If I have cancer, my cancer might not be the same as your cancer, and you might need a different treatment than I would. And even if we both had breast cancer, my breast cancer could be more like somebody else's kidney cancer. They're finding out that certain cancers and certain diseases are based and rooted in genetic mutations. So precision medicine, what that's about is helping to understand the genetic differences that lead to these diseases. And so a lot of people are working on this, and they are involved in seeking out, right now it's the million-person cohort, so a million people who want to share their own genes, their own data. And what that will do is, you know, if you get enough people with certain diseases or the precursors to certain diseases, you'll be looking at differences among them and ways to focus on treatment. So it's providing huge amounts of data for different diseases with the aim of finding ways to diagnose, prevent, and treat those diseases.
Okay. So what about the Brain Initiative? That appears to be an acronym.
This is the Brain Research Through Advancing Innovative Neurotechnologies, Brain Initiative for short. And what that does, similar to the Precision Medicine Project, it's also very focused on data, collecting biological samples and putting together a registry so that different researchers will have the data available to understand connections and to be able to identify signs of cancer earlier. What this essentially will focus on is Alzheimer's disease, things like epilepsy, traumatic brain injury. These are the diseases that are the focus of the Brain Project here. They're mapping the brain to understand what it is that's leading to things like Alzheimer's. And, I mean, that research alone will affect millions and millions of people in the U.S.
So the Cures Act is putting more money behind both the Brain Initiative and the Precision Medicine Initiative. It's also a lot of money appears to be allocated to Beau Biden's cancer moonshot. Now, how does that play into the Brain and Precision Medicine Initiatives?
The Cancer Moonshot Initiative will be focused on putting resources into cancer research to help therapies get to patients more quickly. And different people have different types of cancers, not just according to the organ that the cancer is in, but due to specific variations in their genes and different environmental factors, those cancers will look different. And scientists are just beginning to realize how important that is. So it will help advance new types of therapy and be able to hopefully one day prevent cancer.
Well, and in theory, streamlining the FDA's review process is going to help with all of these initiatives. Is that right?
In theory, there are a lot of hesitations around some of the changes to the FDA. What the bill does is it helps promote something called patient-focused drug development. And while some groups, patient groups, may say it's a good thing, there are, on the other side, consumer groups who are very concerned about some of the provisions in the bill. They're concerned that it would weaken the FDA's review process by allowing things like real-world evidence to be used in the review process. So for each drug that gets approved, you have a stack of evidence, and you have committees and researchers that weigh the risks and benefits of these drugs. And drugs are approved not just for one indication, but for multiple indications. And when a drug is approved for a second or a third indication, they still go through the same process of review with those stacks and stacks of clinical data, medical data, animal research data that helps researchers and scientists at the FDA to decide whether or not to approve it. What the bill would do is allow for real-world evidence instead of the gold standard randomized clinical trials to be used in that review process. It would also allow for the FDA to test whether or not real-world evidence could be used and to test whether something called summary level review could be used for the second, third, fourth indications for a drug. And this is great for the drug companies because they can save a lot of money by not having to do that really in-depth randomized clinical control trials, which cost a lot of money. And they also would be able to provide summary level review, which is just akin to a Cliff Notes version of these really detailed phase 1, 2, and 3 studies that they currently provide for the subsequent indication of a drug approval.
But what does it mean for patients?
Well, consumer groups are very concerned that this could mean that drugs get approved more quickly that shouldn't be approved. The real-world evidence claims are things like observational studies, medical claims data, patient registry data. That information is not as strong, according to some, as a randomized controlled clinical trial where you're very carefully ensuring that the groups of people that are given a drug or not given a drug are comparable and testing that drug in a, you know, very certain setting, and you have, you know, strict parameters for that review. Summary level review, it's like if I were to give you War and Peace to read and pick it apart, or I were to give you the book cover and tell you what it was about, you would get a different take on the book from reading just the review at the back and the entire book. So for summary level review, the FDA usually runs statistical analysis on this really in-depth wealth of data here. And sometimes when they're looking at that data, they may find things that the companies didn't share in their summary. So in that respect, consumers are worried that something like a Vioxx or another drug that turned out to be harmful to patients could get approved, could slip by, because the FDA is testing. I want to emphasize they're testing these new pathways.
The Cures Act has received really incredible bipartisan support, passing with a vote of 94-5. But the act has had its detractors, not just, you know, outside of the Senate, but also pretty big names, including Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. What were the issues that they raised with the Cures Act?
Senator Sanders and Senator Warren were very concerned because the bill did not do what they wanted to do. In part, was one of the things they were very focused on was controlling drug prices. Senator Sanders put out there an amendment. He wanted to allow Medicare to negotiate with drug companies to help lower the prices of drugs. He wanted to allow the importation of drugs from other countries. In a lot of other countries, they spend a lot less on drugs than we do. So those were two ways he thought that this bill could have been improved, by allowing drug companies who are getting a lot out of this bill to actually also put something back in. You know, should they thought there should be something in that bill that would help people pay for these new, very expensive, sometimes, drugs.
But essentially, their Senate colleagues did not want that.
No, there's too many important things in this bill for most of these senators, even their Democratic colleagues, to say no. I mean, if you're in a state where you have thousands of people overdosing on opioids, it's really going to be hard for you to reject this bill.
Well, and let's get into that a little bit. You know, they're saying that they're putting, quote unquote, real dollars behind tackling the opioid epidemic. You know, what do real dollars look like in this case? Where's that money going?
That money is going to treatment for people. Their treatment is really sorely needed for opioids across the country. There isn't the capacity to help the people who need to get off these drugs, have the kind of closely monitored inpatient care they need, or the, you know, treatment at facilities that would help them. One of the senators told a really sad story about someone who had overdosed, and he had a list next to his bed of all of the places that he'd called and tried to get in. And obviously he didn't. You know, he couldn't find a bed. He couldn't get treatment, and he needed it, wanted it, was ready for it. And again, this is another reason why a lot of senators, they found it hard to say no to this bill, because the opioids epidemic is killing so many people that they couldn't go back to their constituents and say, I said no to money for treatment for your child.
Is the money going toward, you know, getting bigger facilities, making more beds available? I know a lot of people have had issues with insurance not covering the treatment. Is it making treatment more financially available?
Part of the bill focuses on improving what's called mental health parity, and that includes behavioral health. Behavioral health, that's an umbrella for mental and issues with drugs, basically. So mental health parity, behavioral health parity, that means that insurers will have to pay for things that they may not want to pay for and have gotten away with not paying for before. And that includes things like behavioral health, substance abuse treatment.
So opioid abuse is sort of being put under the larger umbrella of mental health care. And this bill addresses mental health care, it seems like, in a number of ways, in both, as you mentioned, mental health parity laws, but also care coordination. How much money is actually being allocated to mental health?
That is a tricky question. There isn't direct funding in the bill for anything, but essentially what the bill does for mental health is it strengthens coordination. It elevates mental health to a position within the Health and Human Services, and it strengthens mental health parity, which just means that insurers will have a harder time saying no to things like paying for mental health treatment and then substance use disorder treatment.
All right. Well, Shannon Firth, thank you so much for unpacking this very lengthy act, and thanks so much for reporting on it.
Thank you, Joy.
Shannon Firth is the Washington correspondent for MedPage Today. She's been covering the 21st Century Cures Act. She spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and for more information, you can find your way to WUWM.com.